this is a perfect time to evaluate what you've done, where the gaps are, what's working, what's not. And this is exactly the kind of tool to use to set intentions and to figure out what you need to do or what you want to do and how you're going to do it.
Hello, hello. I'm Melissa Bourbon, and this is the Writer Spark podcast, where business, creativity, and the craft of writing converge. Welcome. 15 years ago, I was an avid reader, but not a writer. I didn't know anything about the actual craft, and I knew next to nothing about the publishing industry. But I had a dream to become a published author, and I set out to learn everything I could. Now, I'm a number one Amazon and national bestselling author of more than 35 novels. I've published traditionally, and I've recently plunged into the world of indie publishing. And I teach people like you how to grow in their craft and find success in this ever-changing industry. I'm an ordinary person, a wife, a mom, a daughter, a teacher, living in a small North Carolina town. Through Writer Spark, I am doing what I love more than anything in the world, which is teaching and helping others on their writing journeys. I'm here as your partner as you navigate your own writing journey. I'm here to help you understand the essential elements of the writing craft, to build your confidence, and to help you find the success you desire. Welcome to the Writer Spark podcast.
Welcome, Nicolette Lemon, to the Writer Spark podcast. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So you have so much to offer. We're going to talk today about marketing for authors. But before we do that, I want to hear a little bit about your origin story, about how you started, how you became an author, and then also what led you to the marketing playbook, which is what we're going to talk about today, to help authors with the second job that they take on, sort of, you know, unwittingly, which is marketing your book.
Oh, isn't that the truth today? Well, one of the things that happened to me early on, I had a marketing agency forever and still do a lot of marketing for clients and all. But the idea for me was marketers didn't know how to market themselves. So I was asked by the American Marketing Association just to put on some fun chapter meeting type presentations to help people figure out how to market themselves. We're really good at marketing others, but not necessarily marketing ourselves, right? So I was doing those seminars and understood that it was really helping people, and they'd come up after and say, where's the book? So I ended up writing a book for them to go along with it called Almost Famous, How to Market Yourself for Success. Now, this was prior to Amazon, so it was all through me buying the books through Ingram and having them go into Barnes & Noble and all those things. And the same kind of ideas of marketing yourself still applied to marketing my book. Mm-hmm. But at the time, then Amazon came into being, and that changed everything a lot. But I put that away and kept on moving forward and started thinking I'd like to write mysteries. So when I started to do mysteries, I found that a lot of my friends in the chapters, that Sisters in Crime particularly was the one that I started with, and I found that they really had no clue how to market their books, themselves and their books, right?
Yep, yep.
And I thought, oh my goodness, history repeating itself in a way, because I started a group called Mysteries and More Marketing Network for our Grand Canyon Writers chapter. And when I did that, I couldn't believe how, you know, I'd say, well, so how big is your email list? And they would look at me blankly like, what email
What's an email list?
What is that, right? So as we went through this Mysteries and More Marketing Network and helping, I kept getting people saying, where's the book? I really would like to have something that I can go back through things and really learn and checklists and all that. And I said, okie dokie, then I'm going to put it together. So that's why I said it's like history repeating itself. I'm helping authors now to market themselves and their books.
Yeah.
And it's really a tough market out there right now, as you know very well. With you know, if you have like 4 million titles or some crazy thing on Amazon, how do you bubble up? So that's where I understood so well that if they didn't understand the fundamentals of marketing, then it was really hard to really step out there and feel successful. But there is a difference between being more of a hobbyist, you know, just wanting to write, not not necessarily wanting to be this huge success, you know, that we've seen across time, but just to be able to have something out there as their legacy. Well, mm-hmm. hobbyists are great, and that's fine. And they may sell 100 books. Great. Mm-hmm. But if you're really wanting it as a writing business, to treat it such, it requires some of those business things like marketing. So right. that's where I felt like I could really help my fellow writer buddies by helping them with understanding simple things to do for marketing.
Do you find that talking to people about this, that you run into authors who just don't want to do the marketing? I just want to write books. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to do that? And I mean, I have friends now who are newer in the business and friends who have been in it for a long time who feel that way. And, you know, we know that you have to do it in order to break outside of your network or your bubble and get to that next level. But, you know, what we want to do is write. So what do you say to that person who is struggling to wear that marketing hat and take time and away from their writing?
Yes, that's a really good point for today, because you have the two different pieces. You have the traditionally published authors and you have the indie or self-published authors. And to me, one of the things that happens with the traditionally published authors, they think that the publisher's going to do it, because in the past they did. Mm-hmm. But now with the consolidation of the publishers, and I mean, imprints go bye-bye, you know, and all of a sudden they have their backlist and they get the rights back, but what do they do with them? But I think you're right. There's a lot of authors that would just really like to write the story, put it up online and hope people find it.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, what we can do and why I wrote this simple handbook, it's only like 100 pages. It's very simple, lots of checklists to make it easy to add it into your day. Cause you're right. Both traditionally published and self-published have to really take that on, because traditionally published, if I've been hearing so many people getting dumped for their second in a series or third or whatever, mm-hmm. if they're not selling books.
Right.
And that's really shocking, you know, for that person, like you said, who doesn't really want to do the marketing part. Mm-hmm. But if you don't help and use your author platform to really move those books, they're not going to pick you up for the next one.
Exactly.
So, and the self-published, how on earth are you going to bubble up with 4 million books out there? And I've had people literally say, oh, well, you know, everyone's going to love my book.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I hate to tell you this, but you need to find those target readers that do really love what you write, mm-hmm. and be able to then get them going and have them spread out from there, telling their friends about you as well.
Yeah.
But it is hard. It's hard. You're right.
Having that target reader, understanding who your target audience is, what it looks like, who your target reader is, having a target reader profile, I think is really important, because yeah, we I think naively come into this thinking everybody's going to love our book, right? And agents and authors, and we're going to get, you know, bidding wars and all of this stuff. It's going to be a bestseller immediately. But the fact is that any one book is not for every agent or every editor or every reader. So you really have to know who you're writing for, because that is going to inform how you market to that person. Because if you look at it as a person, then it can help you really hone in.
And, you know, that's another idea that I had with the book and all, is the exercise of looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
It sounds really funny, but if you love the story you wrote, then who's like you?
Right.
And that's a little easier way for some writers to think of who they're writing for and who their target reader profile is, because I have to know where to find them also to mm-hmm. encourage them to read my stuff. Right. Exactly. And I think that's a big thing, is that if I look in the mirror, I love it. You know, what are the age groups? What is the gender? What is the genre or subgenre that is really intriguing? What is it about your, target reader that they do for hobbies, or where are they on social media?
And what other books are they reading? Comp titles.
Yes, yes, exactly. So getting to know them as best you can, really getting to understand them, can start with yourself, mm-hmm. but then you also can develop that into something that ultimately, if you decide to put out your e-newsletters, maybe do some Facebook ads or other online ads, you know, whatever you're going to do, then you can really refine who it goes to and have more success in selling books, rather mm-hmm. than putting it out there and hoping somebody picks it up. Because I remember going into one chapter meeting and there was an older gentleman there. And I said, oh, you know, hello. And how are you doing? He said, yeah. I said, oh, you got a book. And he had me his flyer and his bookmark. And I said, oh, how nice. I said, well, now, so how many books have you sold? And he said, well, I think about 100. I go, well, that's good. And he's like, yeah, I'd like to sell more. I go, well, how big is your email list? He was like, dead silence. And I was like, he says, email list? Oh, so that's why I said, I knew early on that one of the things I could bring to the chapter was just to help a little bit in their marketing of their work. So it's funny. So
I'd love to talk about the email list first then. You know, I had the philosophy initially that I would send out a newsletter when I had something to sell, right? When I had a new book out, something like that. And then I read Newsletter Ninja, and that really changed my philosophy. And at that point, I was really beginning to understand that it's about building relationships with your readers. And in order to do that, you need to be in communication with them, and not only about your book, about just, you know, so many readers want to know about who we are, who these authors are that they love to read. And so it's building that relationship with them on the regular basis. And then when you have a new book, you know, you share something about that. And of course, you're dabbling your book stuff in here and there. But that's sort of my philosophy now to my newsletter list. So what is yours?
Right. And I think that's something that even if you have a small list to start, it's the perfect thing to do and to practice things. Just like you're saying, what gets anybody to respond to you? What might be something that you can put in there? And even if it was something very simple to get in front of those target readers, it would be, you know, maybe a small short one. You don't have to have long developed ones, because some people love to write really long email newsletters. I like just to have punchy, quick things that you can interest the person. It could be about your writing dream. It could be about, you know, the character in the first story that you're writing. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have something published yet, it's so important to start building your author brand out there to let people know. And what are you writing? So they go along on the journey with you. Mm-hmm. And like you said, once I engage those people, then I have a better shot that when I do have it out there, they'll go purchase it.
Yeah. Because they care about you as a person now.
Yes. Well, and you're so right. You have to do it though in an interesting way. You can't just, I see some people just throw out their book and, you know, kind of like buy my book.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. Yes. I'm talking about engaging them and bringing them into that writing dream, bringing them into that idea of what you're writing, why you're writing it, who are the characters, what is the setting. You can do little snippets of that and send it out. Mm-hmm. The other thing I have is one of my friends, I love this idea. She did a fairly short story, and she put it into little, like maybe a paragraph sound bites.
Oh, like serializing it?
Yeah. So you would get it like every couple days, mm-hmm. and the story would continue for, you know, a couple weeks. The reason being, and I love this idea, the reason for it though was, again, to your point, engaging with them, getting them to know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of doing a little short story that you can get them wanting to see that next email to finish the story.
And to open it, because we all know we get so many things in our inbox. So we want people to actually open our emails, because that improves the deliverability of them and the fact that they're going to see them in the first place.
Yes.
And I like that idea.
True. But yeah, so it was a little bit different. But she also, the other thing too, is if you have, when you are doing emails and you start with your friends and family, you know, whoever you have that you can start an email list with, mm-hmm. and start to build it. The other thing is to make sure that you continue to ask people on your website. And that's one thing that I found a lot of authors don't necessarily have at first, because they're not treating it as a business. Mm-hmm. They don't have a website. Mm-hmm. They have a Facebook, but they don't have, or Instagram, but they don't have that. And I really believe it's your office online. Mm-hmm. And if you have that, you have that little pop-up that says, join my e-list. You know, I really think it's important to make sure. And so anyway, yes, I think building that email list is good. And starting out small is fine, and short ones. You don't have to have super long ones that people may not read, like you were saying. We get so much anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to entice people to read. And I think also it's about what we have to give to our readership or potential readership if you're not published yet. We're not always asking for them to give to us, for them to buy our book, but we're giving them something. So freebies, like the story that your friend is serializing, or lead magnets, or a free first book in a series, or recipes. I have recipes on my website that I share in my newsletter. So it's like, what can we give to you that in a way we're giving back? We're not only just asking. And I think that's very important.
Yes. And just as you're mentioning, you know, how do you build it and how do you stretch it? That was one way that I really loved. But I also do feel that there is an element of picking a social media that you like.
Yes.
And that you feel gets you results.
Yes.
And of course, I watched your webinar about Pinterest and was fascinated. I've just started to dabble, not quite like you did, but I loved what you said about it, that you chose that and you started to see results. I have a friend that did Book Talk, and she started to find all kinds of interest and followers in Book Talk on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that I know found success on Facebook. So it really is, though, where you feel your target readers are, and to make sure that you're very consistent. There's another piece of this marketing aspect is when you said, we all want to write.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of our energy, but we have to carve some time every week, every day, even if you can, just for a little bit of marketing. Right. And one of those pieces is social media as well, to be consistent. I call it the magic of seven. It's actually
that's one of my questions is the seven touches, right? I loved that. I have my list of things to talk to you about from the book, but I loved that breakdown of the seven touches. So yeah, go ahead and let's talk about that.
Yes. But the magic of seven is that there is a human aspect that to remember something, we have to see it seven times, see it, hear it, you know, experience it seven times. Well, I've had people say, well, I tried an ad and I got a couple of book sales. It was like one ad. Wait a minute. You need, you know, that. Well, I put up posts on Facebook and they expect immediate results. And when they do, and it's like, no, you have to do the build up. You have to do seven times before they'll remember you.
Right.
And I think that's just a fun way also to kind of schedule your own promotions, and what you're doing is to make sure you're hitting seven different times, or at least in different media, you're hitting that message enough that people will remember you and remember what your message is.
And it's twofold, because we're trying to build our own brand awareness of us as authors, as well as awareness of our books as products. So we're really doing two things in that respect.
Yes. And you know, one of the things I've said is when you create your author brand, the idea to me is to also have a tagline, just like a company does, because you are the brand. So you have to have your own tagline. And I feel like when you do that, it gives you a little more validation about being that, you know, well-heeled author, that you have your author brand, and then you have your target reader who you're going to focus your energies to engage with. And those two things are the foundation for starting your marketing. But you're right. If you treat it as a business, most businesses have the overall brand and then they have their products.
Right.
That's the same thing as you. Now, some people say, well, I have a pseudonym. You know, I'm writing under a pen name. And I've always said, even if you do that on your website, have both. Don't just go down the pen name, because people can't identify with a pen name. You know, they can't identify with that author as much as when they come online and they see that you have, that you're also writing under a different one, but they're engaging with the real person as well.
Right, right. And it's hard to maintain multiple pen names, I will tell you, and have multiple websites. I ended up combining mine eventually. I have a pen name through a different publisher who wanted to launch me as a debut, you know, and all of that. And you know, at some point, you have to recognize that at some point, something has to give. You have to be cognizant enough to know that you cannot do everything. You cannot do all social media and be successful at it. You cannot maintain multiple websites and be successful at it. You know, you can't do it all. And so you have to pick and choose what you can be successful at. And I think that's really important, because I think a lot of times we try to do it all. And it's just an impossibility. Sorry, my dog is whimpering right here. it's just impossible. And that's why, going back to Pinterest, when I started dabbling in Pinterest and learning about it and realized that it's a search engine and started going all in on that, I really pulled back on the rest, because I wanted to put my energy into the thing that I was seeing results in, that was actually moving the needle for my books. You know, why am I going to spend my time elsewhere when it's not working for me? Now, Pinterest might not be for everybody. Maybe it is Instagram or BookTok or whatever. But go in on that then, the thing that you feel works for you. Don't spread yourself too thin and, you know, go in on everything because you feel you need to be everywhere. Find your audience on the thing that you're good at.
And that you will pay attention to. Because mm-hmm. there's the other thing, is that marketing has to be that build-up process, just like the seven steps, as I said. The magic of seven is really for everything you do with your marketing. But the idea there is that if you're not, say, you know, you do one ad campaign or you do a few posts and then you stop. Mm-hmm. Well, the world moves on.
Right.
And if you aren't there consistently, people forget about you.
Yes.
And I think that's another piece of why I feel it's so important to embrace the marketing as an author, is that there's so much competition out there that if I'm not consistently tapping and touching and saying hello, they'll forget about me.
This episode is sponsored by the Writer Spark course, What's Your Story? Do you have a story to tell? The short answer is yes. The long answer is that everyone has a life story worthy of telling. Whatever your life experience is, you can turn them into a memoir. Have you experienced a life-changing event? Do you have a foundational friendship, an amazing job or career, or a family story? Are you a survivor? Do you have deep convictions? We all have stories to tell. Even the ordinary can become extraordinary when you put pen to paper. Writer Spark's Writing Your Memoir, Writer Spark's What's Your Story memoir class is a self-paced course designed to help you dive into the process of writing your memoir. Check it out and learn more at writersparkacademy.com.
You know, early on in my career, I was going to chapter meetings and hearing people speak, and I have no idea who said this, but it really resonated with me back then, and it has stuck with me all of these years, and it was that your book will continue selling as long as you continue to market it. There isn't a lifespan for your book. It isn't a finite period of time. So even though that book is out and you've moved on to writing the next book or the next one or the next one, the other ones need your attention, because they will fade from memory if you don't give them that attention. And that was just a really powerful understanding for me, that, you know, the book is out, but I've got to keep bringing it in front of people. And if I do that, it'll keep selling. It's not going to fade away.
And I also, just in that point also, is the idea of backlist, that there are a lot of authors now that, especially if they're not doing anything with them at the traditional publisher, a lot of people getting their rights back and publishing them themselves mm-hmm. as indies, and being able to utilize the backlist. Because you're right, if they're good stories, I mean, look, we're still reading Agatha Christie right? all over and over. She's like, you know, the best-selling author in history or whatever, with like 100 million books or some amazing thing. But to your point, they will keep on selling, people will still read them if they're good. And now there's the point. You do have to write a really good story.
Yes.
You still have to write a really good book.
Yes,
so
true.
That is the first. Yeah.
So true. Okay. So in your book, you talk about, let's go back to the seven touches. So you have it broken down into ad campaigns, book launches. Can you talk about the things that you broke down your seven touches into a little bit?
Well, the main thing to me is that whenever you're going to do, for example, you have your email list and you send out an email to everybody, you take a piece of that. So that's one touch. You take a couple of pieces of that and you put it out in social media. So now you've gotten a couple more touches for that same thing. Anytime you're going to do some or a book launch, you have to know that you're going to touch people at least seven times with your social media, your email, ads, all of them combining to be able to really cut through the clutter and get your target readers thinking, oh, I gotta get this one. If I just send it once, well, we all know we're way too busy. We won't remember.
Right.
But if I get it seven times to that person, I have a chance that they'll remember me and go buy the book. And isn't that a wild thing to think about? But in this day and age, when, like you said, the emails that you have flowing in, the social media just flips. I mean, I always wonder, you know, you put something up and you can't find it again because there's so much that's going through, right?
And instantly, it's just, it's there and it's gone. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the other reason for those actual seven times, but just finding ways to compartmentalize little pieces of the content and get them out and repost, continuing to repost things, change them up just a little, you know, change the headline, change it a little, put it back out again, because it's so true. People have so much in there coming at them all the time that it's best to continue to remind them. So seven touches. And when you do that, scheduling it in your marketing plan, it doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. It can be one page where you have a marketing calendar of the things that you're going to do next year, or if you just want to do a quarter, but to be able to write down those things you're going to do to remind yourself to make sure to do them. That's what the value of having a marketing plan is to keep you doing it consistently.
Yeah. I like the idea of the quarterly. That's what I use because then I feel I can be successful and check it off and then start again at zero. You know, even I'm picking up where I left off, but it feels more manageable to say I'm going to do this within the next 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, and it's whatever, it's like whatever you need to do to trick yourself into it.
Yeah.
Because it is true. You know, we have to, especially when I have been around a lot of very introverted writers, they have a really hard time putting themselves out there and putting, you know, worrying about what do they put out there? What should they say? What should they do? And to reinforce that if you just schedule it out in a simple plan, then you just put it out there and not worry about it instead of, you know, what are people going to think? And I feel like so often that's a hard thing. So I was trying to give tools in the book to make sure that someone who's also not sure about marketing, that they can at least then just schedule things out really super simple and then see what happens and evaluate it afterwards. And the quarterly thing, yes. Anything that helps get you going and not make it feel so daunting, so that you will do it and keep doing it. I think it gets you over that initial hump of, I don't know how to market to, okay, I've tried it. I've got these things moving. I've gotten some book sales. Now what can I do? I feel like it gives you more excitement over the next things you're going to do to try to get more book sales.
Yeah, so. I agree. And going back to your point about introverts, because I imagine that the majority of authors or you know, skewing towards a very high percentage anyway, are introverts, myself included. You have to almost teach yourself that how to be extroverted in this instance. And I come back to something I had read and a friend has talked to me about as well, about Beyonce, who considers herself fairly introverted, as a lot of celebrities are and performers are. But you wear this mask and she puts on this mask of Sasha Fierce when she is performing. So it's no longer her. It's her wearing this mask and literally becoming someone else. And when I speak and, you know, because I'm very introverted on the scale, my book club read a book recently and we all took this quiz and I scored 16 out of 20 on the introverted side of things. But I have taught myself how to get out there and just be okay with speaking, to let go of the fear and you know, and sometimes it's kind of an out-of-body experience when I'm speaking in front of, you know, a big group or something. I feel sort of outside of myself. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that you can teach yourself to do these things even if you consider yourself or fully are introverted.
Well, and that's a very good point in the sense, and I feel that strongly. I'm on the opposite side. I can talk to a wall. I'm definitely on the, so I understand that, but I also love to bring people out. And one of the things when you said that got me thinking about how often it is that if you have something like a marketing plan that is about the plan and not about yourself, it's about being able to work a plan and you don't have to put your face in it or anything. You can just put information and fun stories and things out in your marketing. It doesn't have to be necessarily your face so you feel at risk. But the idea is when you have that plan and you have how to do stuff, it gives you more confidence. And it gives you that idea that, well, if I schedule this, well, then I can check it and see if it works. And now it's about the plan and not about you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important because I think that's why I said with the marketers not being able to market themselves. I feel that way about me. I'm not very good about marketing myself, but I can market the heck out of you.
Yeah.
So I found that that's why I wanted to do the book, because I wanted to help fellow writer buddies to be able to really step out of that introvertedness, to be able to do that without risk and to be able to understand marketing without having to go through business classes or anything. It's just to make it easy step by step with checklists and all so that they can be more successful.
I love the checklists. I love workbooks like this where I can, you know, there is something really concrete. There are solid takeaways and solid processes to help me through it. So one of the things I loved about the book is the 3-step action plan that you have at the end of each section. So why did you break it into those 3 steps, and what's your sort of philosophy about the action steps themselves?
I felt that every time, and I've always done this in other programs that I've created, I always feel like to be able to get it to something really simple to do, those 3 steps allow the person to read the chapter and then go, okay, I can do that. So it really is about utilizing the information they just read, but also being able to feel, again, that confidence that, oh, I can do that, because she just had, you know, she asked me to do these 3 things. I can do those. And it breaks it down for them that it's not this big, huge, oh my gosh, I have to write this really long, detailed marketing plan. No, it's like, get these things down and you're already on your way.
Yeah. It feels really manageable.
Yes. That's a good word. Manageable. Yes.
Yeah. Because if you look at marketing as a whole and everything that we need to do theoretically to be successful, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, and so to have it into sort of bite-sized pieces or manageable steps makes it feel like, okay, I can do this. Like you said, okay, I can do these 3 things that she's telling me I need to do for this section. And then you can move on. And again, feel successful because you've accomplished those 3 things.
Yes. And also hopefully keep moving them through the book so that they will see the whole process and not just all of a sudden think, okay, well, I've got this part about the ads and the email, so I'll just do that. I want them to travel through the entire book to be able to make sure that they've got it and they feel very comfortable with it so that they can then start doing it right. There's so much to marketing that I also wanted it to be like only 3 goals. You know, I like just using 3 because it doesn't seem so huge to do. But if you have 3 goals, it could be how many books you want to sell. It can be putting something together that you're going to do on a regular basis for social media, say. Or then there's a 3rd one that you're going to be writing another one. So all 3 of those need to have some marketing behind them because you want to sell the books. You want to also help market the new one coming in.
Right.
You want to be able to, you know, just, you know, get it out there so all of your books are successful. But I do think it's easier when it's a little more bite-sized, but that you can go through all of them, 3 goals that you start your marketing plan with and manageable. And like you said, you like the even quarterly ideas, you know, even just starting quarterly and seeing what works for you.
And I think that the idea of intention is so powerful. I have a mastermind group that I meet with monthly, and we are all creatives, although I'm the writer and they're fine artists. But the sort of the goal of us forming this group was the intention behind how we find success in our different fields. And coming together and discussing that, or, you know, working with our method of how we map things out, because we do it quarterly, for me, that has been a real turning point. Because when you know what you're trying to achieve, you actually do things to try and achieve it, versus having some abstract out there of, I'm a writer and I want my book to sell. Okay, but how do you do that? And so when you have an idea of how I'm going to do that, then you start implementing those things, and you start internalizing the concreteness of your intention too. So I think that's why a book like this that you've written, the Marketing Playbook, has so much power behind it, because you've got the action steps, you've got the checklist, you're helping people be very intentional in you're helping people understand what they need to do and to be very intentional about it. And I think that's powerful.
And I do think, when I was imagining, you know, the discussions I've had with others, and like you with your mastermind, the idea of having all kinds of ideas. Everybody's got a new idea, right? Oh, they've got ads that they've done, or they've done a Facebook group, or they whatever. Mm-hmm. The idea happens that you can go down rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And I tried to make this really easy, that you, as a framework, to be able to get your marketing going without having to learn all the newfangled whatevers that is going on. And I appreciate those people that then take it to the next step and spend thousands to market their books. Great. I think that's awesome. But you have to start somewhere, all of us do, with creating that framework of our marketing so that we can then be adding things in. Mm-hmm. But to go down some of these, you know, let's say, well, I tried this and then I tried that. Well, they've gone down rabbit holes. They don't know really how to do things. It's not organized into a plan. So now they really don't have, they get very frustrated. They don't want to do it. It's not working. Mm-hmm. And so what I was hoping, like you had mentioned with the book, is to take you through so you have a plan, and then every year you can update it, change it up, add new things. Absolutely. But I always worry about the rabbit holes, because we don't have no time for writing. If you're going to go down a rabbit hole, how to do Amazon ads or how to do Facebook ads or, you know,
right,
that type of thing.
Right.
So I was hoping that the book would do that framework.
And I think that you also have to be willing to let go of things that are not working anymore. You know, I started years ago a book group on Facebook, and it was great. Lots of exposure, lots of relationships built. But I got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore, because I needed to spend my time elsewhere where I was seeing more return, you know? And so you have to be willing to let some things go as you realize, or as what's working changes, because it is going to change. One thing is not going to work forever. And so you're always building, creating new things, new pathways, new opportunities, and letting go of the things that aren't. Because again, it is a business.
Yes. And I'm happy if someone wants to be a hobbyist. It's not that I feel everybody has to have their writing be a business. No. I mean, I think it's wonderful if someone just wants to put a book out and they have a couple books they want to do. And that's wonderful. The idea is, what is your definition of success in your writing? Because if you feel that you really want to sell, and I've asked this in different groups, how many books do you want to sell to feel successful? And somebody will say, well, you know, 100. Some will say 1,000. Some will say 10,000. You know, and some may say, you know, they want it to be a bestseller. Well, great. And then to do that, it's not that you're just going to throw it out there and hope for the best, but the idea that if you think about, what is it that is really success to you? Because there, like I said, there are people that would just like to sell 100 because they did it. They wrote the book and they got it out there and they feel good about it.
Awesome. Right. It was a bucket list kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. A legacy. Yeah. And then the flip side of that is somebody, you know, that really wants to have three series and they want to be on the USA Today bestseller list or, you know, that type of thing that really, or I've always been just enthralled. One of my friends has had two Hallmark movies. Yahoo. Her name is Barb Hinsky. And she all self-published. Mm-hmm. And has done amazing things, but has also put a lot to it. I mean, she treated it as a business. And she's one of the ones that I really felt was the difference between someone who is kind of a starter and kind of getting into it, but doesn't know, and someone who's like, I'm going all in. And that's fine. And it's, and you may be in the middle there. That's fine too. But mm-hmm. you have to be truthful with yourself about what is it that you want to do with your writing. Is it just for fun, hobbyist, or is it really that you want it as a writing business? You want to make some money and you want to reach a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. Can you hang on 1 second? I'm going to let the dog back out. He keeps coming back.
Cutie. Are they pugs?
The one I just let out is a Chug. He's Chihuahua pug. And this one is a Jack Russell Terrier. He's the puppy. He's not causing me problems. The other one is the one that's whining. So anyway.
The older one.
Yes.
It's cute.
Okay. So another thing that I loved in the book were the video ideas. Now, this is something I think for somebody who is obviously more comfortable filming themselves and putting themselves out there. But I love the ideas because I find myself thinking, okay, what else can I do? What can I do with this medium? What can I do differently than other people are doing? So what, can you explain your video ideas, or let's chat about that? I loved them.
Well, and that's a really good point, because not everybody wants to put themselves on video, and that's fine. You can still create videos with graphics and with your mm-hmm. book covers and stock photos and all. You mm-hmm. can still do that and have something. But the aspect of video to me today is huge in terms of everybody looking to the, you know, the TikTok and just amazing things on Instagram. Now they're doing it, and Facebook's, everything is going to short videos.
YouTube.
Because yes. And well, YouTube, yes, forever. But funny enough, everybody's kind of copying it. Right.
Right.
But you're right. That kind of thing is really important to consider, that people like to watch a quick video more so than read. And I'm saying as far as reading online or something that they're mm-hmm. doing, there's mm-hmm. still people that flip through and read, but videos really capture attention because mm-hmm. it's a storyteller format. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit different than more of an informative email type of thing, or just a post up online. When you mm-hmm. have a video, you're actually doing a little storytelling. And I think that that really resonates well with us being storytellers, mm-hmm. because if we want people to engage with our stories, nothing better than a good book trailer or something where you're talking about what, even if you can feel comfortable doing it yourself, but mm-hmm. talk about why you love this story. I mean, mm-hmm. can you imagine how engaging that is versus just writing it down? I still love written word, don't get me wrong, and emails are still good, but adding in a little bit of video always helps. Like, I love the book trailer ideas that people have done. I've also liked just real snippets of people doing fun things on Book Talk, mm-hmm. just to get people engaged. And isn't it funny that we're so tied into video now as a society? I mean, mm-hmm. It's huge. So to your point, yes, if you can feel comfortable doing it, great. Mm-hmm. I also think that if you're not comfortable, you can do a lot of stock videos, you know, going on Canva and looking to see what they have, or going on another formatted type of stock photo place mm-hmm. really helps you to maybe get some inspiration. And if you don't want your face there, put those cool photos up there.
And the great thing about those sites, Canva and BookBrush, they have built-in video templates. So it's all the work is done for you.
Yes.
And you just have to plug in those images and that text. So it is really easy to do something along those lines and not have yourself out there so personally, so overtly. The other thing that I have found interestingly successful is just to read aloud snippets or a chapter one. And I've had many people tell me, oh, I bought your book because I heard you read chapter one on YouTube or on my website or whatever. And I have found that reading aloud is very difficult. So I make all kinds of mistakes. I'm not a talker. And I have done blooper reels of those. And those are usually popular too. So yeah, you can get creative with how you do video and what kind of videos you do. But, you know, you're also reaching other people. You know, it widens, broadens your potential audience, because people who are on YouTube may not be on Instagram, and people who are on Instagram may not be on Facebook. You know, people have their places that they go. And so you are opening up the opportunity to hit more people or to reach more people.
That's so true. And it is, but the video piece, I love that you mentioned that they have the templates and all, because there are some ways to do it that you don't have to be yourself. But I love the idea too of reading the first chapter. Mm-hmm. And you may not be that great of a narrator, but it's sometimes that authenticity that people love, because they're engaging with the author. And I think that helps a lot. So I can see where your blooper reel would be fun as well, because people like the authenticity of who you are. And then they do want to buy your book.
Yeah. They're seeing the real you. You feel like you're giving them a glimpse of who you really are. And again, it all comes back to building those relationships with people.
Yes. Yes. And to continue to put stuff out there.
Yes. You followed this up in the book with the learning modalities. As a former public school teacher, you know, we learn about learning modalities and how to differentiate curriculum to, you know, reach kids who learn in different ways. But it's the same idea. We want to reach people who like to read, people who like to hear, people who like to watch, because we all learn and get our information in the ways that are most comfortable and most effective for us. So that kind of goes back to, some people are on YouTube and they may not be on or TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know, because they've found their place. They want to watch videos versus being on Facebook and looking at pictures and reading text.
And it does go back to, Melissa, to your idea of the, you know, with your target reader, that making sure that you know where they are as well, so that you do show up there. And it was funny when you said that about modalities. Yeah, I always say audiovisual kinetic has been one of the best things I ever learned, and I learned it forever ago.
Yeah.
But I've used it always with all of my presentations, all my webinars, all my trainings, everything that you have, something that the kinetics can hold on to, and in our case, it'd be a book to read, but when to listen, they need something to hold on to. That an audio, yes, they want to hear. They just want to hear it. And then the visuals want to see the video. So it is so interesting. I used to have to do that with my daughter when she was in school. If they had a book to read, you know, say it was like How to Kill a Mockingbird or something, then she didn't want to read. She was not a reader. She was a visual. So I had to find the movie. So I got the movie for her. And then, you know, if she wasn't really going to read the whole thing, I'd also get an audiobook of it so that I got her as many ways as I could to be able to. So she had the book, she could hold it, but no, she didn't want to read it. She could watch the movie and then she could listen to the audiobook. But it is true. We have one that dominates us the most. Mm-hmm. But when you're thinking of your target reader, everybody is different. And so if you do have a video, if you do have something for them to see online, like an email, e-newsletter, things like that, that they can maybe read, you know, that's another kinetic thing, is they can go online and read it. And then you can do maybe an audiobook or a podcast like you do. It's all that we have to find what they and what, how we can get into them with one of those audiovisual or kinetic aspects.
Yeah, how they like to receive their information. You know, audiobooks are just so massively huge and growing and growing and growing. So there are so many people that want to read, experience books in that way. So yeah, we want to have our books, not only our marketing strategies hitting those different modalities, but also offering our books in these different ways, whether it's serialized or obviously in print or in audio. You know, we don't want to only have one way. So going back to the idea of websites, if you're not published yet, what kind of things would an unpublished author put on their websites that creates value for somebody stopping by and to want to join that newsletter list?
You know, that's a really good point as far as they say, well, I don't have anything to put up. Well, you do. You may have a first chapter. You do already have characters that you're writing about. You may have a setting that's really cool. Could be historical, could be today, whatever. The idea is to pull on things that you're already doing in your writing dream mm-hmm. that you really want to others to experience with you. And so if you have your brand, you have your tagline, and you have your who your target reader is, you can fashion some of these really cool pages there. I would say I would want to have not only just that first page where you maybe talk about your writing dream, but then you have an about page mm-hmm. of who you are. So you got to have your bio there and a little bit more about you. You might even have a mock-up cover that you can put on. That would be fun. Mm-hmm. I also feel that you have a contact me page. Simple. I mean, it's just simple little things that you can have to start that you don't have to have this big website. Just those three things. And then I would really encourage an email sign up button that pops up.
Right.
Now, with that, you could also offer a freebie of some sort. Maybe it's a mm-hmm. short story you've written, or maybe it's a little fun description of your characters or whatever that you could give people when they sign up for your email list. Right. So even that is just a fun thing to do to engage with people and just be ready for that next level when you're going to go for it with the published book.
Right. So it's just having a presence, beginning to build a presence. As far as the lead magnets, I started out, a lot of my books have recipes in them, cozy mysteries and such. Yeah. And so I created a cookbook, a cozy cookbook, recipes from my books. And so I offer that free to people who sign up for my email list. And then on the workflow that then goes out, the series of emails that goes out once somebody joins, I have a free book that they have access to. So Book Funnel is a great resource, mm-hmm. a great way to be able to offer those lead magnets, those freebies in a very painless, easy way. So I like Book Funnel a lot for that purpose, really.
Yes, because with that, did you just do your cookbook as a PDF or what?
Yes.
How do you have? Yeah, so it's easy enough for someone to download, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I do think, and to me, that relates right back to your cozies. It relates to those people that love to see your recipes, love to see your stories, then, and will go back to your stories if they see, well, what was that recipe from? You know, and they mm-hmm. see the name and they'll go back and maybe they hadn't read it yet. So I love that idea.
That's actually what I do on my website, because I have a recipe section on my website as well. And the intro to each recipe is what book it's from and a lot, you know, the paragraph or whatever where it's mentioned, and then the link to that book. So it is all connecting back to the book that recipe comes from.
That's cool. I love those ideas of using what you already have, because mm-hmm. you have all those recipes. So you're using everything you have. It's not having to create all new. You're just putting them into a format that's really fun and easy. Great cover. Off you go. PDF. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, it's free in essence. Yeah. It's not, it's you creating it. And a lot of people I run into, oh, I can't afford to do that course, or I can't afford to do much. I can't afford to do ads. A lot of them, okay, maybe they're retired. Maybe they just don't have the budget. Okay. But mm-hmm. there are freebies, like you just said, that you can create on your own and be able to offer them. And email is free. If you can't do MailChimp or, you know, because it's, you've got too many names for MailChimp, you know, because they do kind of mm-hmm. cap you, or MailerLite or Constant Contact, any of those, they do have a freebie plan. Mm-hmm. But if you have more than that, you know, you can, or you can even just start with Outlook or one of your own Gmail, or you can even start smaller. But the idea is it's, you know, that's free.
Right.
So sending those out, it's free. Now it is your time mm-hmm. and talent. It's just not the treasure.
Right.
And social media is free.
Yeah. And you want it all to work together. I'm going to create my newsletter. I'm going to share my newsletter on social media. I'm going to do, you know, offer something to social media that's going to take people to my website. You know, it's just this cycle. In terms of mailing platforms, email platforms. I use Flowdesk and I love it so much. So you're right that all of these MailChimp, MailerLite, all of those, they have the freebie plans. And I think it's when you get to maybe 500 or something, that's when you start to pay. And then you start to pay per subscriber. And it can add up very quickly and become, you know, really just not realistic to maintain if you're not making that money back. And it's an awful lot of money to spend on some of those types of mailing lists. Flowdesk, I love because it operates differently. It's, I believe it's $39 a month, no matter what, no matter how many subscribers you have. So once you hit that 1,000 or 500 or whatever it is, you can easily download that CSV and switch over to something like Flowdesk that's a lot more reasonably priced and does the same thing. So there are a lot of great inexpensive resources out there to accomplish what needs to be accomplished and that can grow with you in an affordable manner.
Well, and it's just like you said, the idea of starting free which always is helpful because, like I said, a lot of people say, oh, I don't have any money to do those things. Well, email can be free for a while and social media is free for a while. And you go, well, but I have to put stuff up. Well, you can still create it on Canva or, you know, BookBrush or anybody who's offering those services. And, you know, Canva, the first level is free or whatever. So you can do many things so to start out free. And then, like you said, once you start to sell books, then you can start to build in some of those services for more and more services that you think will really benefit you as you grow the business. But it's also really, I think, important that people know they can start out super low cost.
Yes.
And still do it well.
And start creating those systems early as well. So creating ways that gives you the opportunity to be hands off. So utilizing the tools like BookFunnel, for example, and to do your lead magnets because they distribute the book. You don't have anything to do with it once you set it up. And it's very hands off. And I love that because I don't want to have to think about those things. I want to set it up once and be done with it until I decide to change it up for some reason. I don't want to worry about it, you know, and I can budget for my newsletter. I don't have to worry about, oh, I don't really, you know, I want 10,000 subscribers, but do I really want 10,000 subscribers? Because then I'm going to have to pay, you know, however many hundreds more a month to maintain that, you know, and I don't have to worry about those things. So it's finding the things that work for you, for your budget, and then creating systems that will grow with you as you grow and as you grow that email audience as well.
And that writer business aspect. And that's why I do feel that it's important to describe both sides of it. One of my friends always teases me about getting into my marketing expert head. And, you know, I always assume people, you know, get it, but a lot of people don't get it. And they think, oh, they've got to jump in. Like you just said, they have to jump into something else and then it gets pricey. And then they I can't do that. It gets too costly or whatever. But there are so many ways to get started small and for no cost. And, you know, yes, there's a cost in your time and your talent, but there isn't a treasure cost at the first. And so that's what I wanted to make sure people knew. And then for that next level, which I really like, you know, you mentioned getting into those services that can help you expand and really grow and be hands off. But I do understand the people that think, well, they want to sell books first before they jump into even more cost. Yeah. I get it. But as a writing business, you're right. You have to invest in these really cool services to help you.
Yeah. It's kind of, as you said, understanding your goal, your intent, you know, are you a hobbyist? Do you want this to be a business? And if you do want it to be a business, you have to be able to invest, whether it's time or money from the get-go in order to build it because it is a long game.
One of the writers that I helped a year ago was, let's see, she was turning, I think, 83. And it was so cute. And Barb Desmond, she wrote a book about human trafficking, but it was a mystery. It wasn't specifically that, but the idea was she was also going to give part of the proceeds back to a local charity. And the idea there, you know, when you think about someone, when you said long game, I was kind of laughing going, we still have authors that are in their 70s, 80s, 90s that are trying their hand at doing this. So part of me, you know, my heart goes out to helping anybody who wants to write, no matter what their age is, and to be successful in whatever that means to them. But it is really interesting that it's a long game, but it's also however long your mind is, you can still write a book at an older age. Oh,
yeah.
It was really cute. So that's the other piece of this is an easy playbook that people can use at whatever age to be able to, you know, achieve their writing dream too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's such a great story. Well, think about Grandma Moses, how old, you know, in her 70s or something. You know, and I think Janet Ivanovich was 54 around there when she first published her first book, is what I recall reading. You know, I mean, you don't have to start this game when you're young in your 20s. My first book didn't come out until I was 42. So, you know, now 35 books later.
Isn't that amazing?
I've had a solid career,
It's probably hard to even imagine to that very first one and where you are now, because you know, 35 books later, you're in such a different space than someone like Barb, who it was her first one at 83. Mm-hmm. it was fun for me to help her with her launch. And, you know, we did an interview. I interviewed her and she did it at her church, which was part of what the charity was connected with. And it was so sweet. I love those. But I also love my other friend, Barb Hinsky, who I said has had two Hallmark movies. She's had two or three series and all. And she invests all the time in it. And it's a business. So I do understand, just like you, it's your business. So how can we help that first person? How can I help also those people that are already in it, but maybe forgetting that they haven't, you know, the traditional publisher isn't going to help them anymore?
So I love that idea of tapping into your passion, though, also the charity. I have a friend, Diane Kelly, and I are doing an event in a town a couple of hours away, and we are donating our books, and a bunch of authors have also sent us their books. So we will be there to sign our books, sell them at a reduced price, and then all of the money goes to the animal shelter. It's a no-kill shelter to help support them. We're both huge animal lovers. And so it's, you know, you're doing something good, something that speaks to your heart, and also at the same time, you know, getting exposure for yourself. And that maybe is not even the primary goal, but it is happening. But you're more importantly doing something that is important to you, that you value.
Yes. And is one of your series a dog one or an animal?
They all have animals in them. So they're not specific. I don't have a pet series. Diane does. She has the paw enforcement series where Bridget is a German Shepherd police dog. And there are even small scenes from Bridget's point of view. And then she has other books. They all have animals too. And several of them have scenes from that animal's point of view. And all of mine have animals, you know, in them because, you know, they're just part of my life. They're part of her life. So it's just something that we both, you know, really connect and bond with and want to support and help. Yeah.
That's Barb Desmond, the one that I said had a Hallmark movie. It was Guiding Emily. And her Guiding Emily series is a guide dog series. Mm-hmm. And same kind of thing, but it is, she was donating proceeds to the Foundation for the Blind Children here in our city. And so again, another way to give back and to get exposure that really is part of your marketing. And I think people forget about that anytime that you're going out and exposing people, new audiences, if you will, to your books and that connection that you may have to them. That's why I ask if you had an animal series, because if you're there at an animal rescue, what a great opportunity to say, you'll love my book too. So I get it. It really is wonderful. And it's also helping. And I think that that's another great way to market your books.
And, you know, looking for opportunities that are outside the sort of traditional book world. One of my series is a sewing based series, a magical dressmaking mystery series. And somehow I got onto the radar of the Wisconsin Quilt Show. books. And so twice I've been invited to go speak at the Wisconsin Quilt Show, and it's a huge event. And so some of those people are readers, but primarily they are quilters and fiber lovers and fabric lovers and all of that. And so my book fits in very well with their interests. And so I'm going to potentially reach people that I might not have reached otherwise, or who might not know about me. And it's outside of the book world altogether. So those opportunities are really fun to participate in and to try and seek out. Like, what can you connect your book with, and how can you utilize that as a way to reach people, potential readers?
And then to make sure it goes right onto your website, because you should, if you're doing that and you are okay with presenting, because some introverts are don't want to be up in front. They may be on a panel, but they don't want to be up in front. But a lot of authors would like to. Having an events page on your website is really important, so that people can find where you're going to be and engage with you. And so, when you were at the quilting conference, I mean, how fun is that? Totally different than being at, you know, BoucherCon or, you know, Malice Domestic or something that would be more tied to mysteries and all that. Now you're in a whole nother area of exposing yourself. I love it, because that's another part of your marketing that gets you out there and gets more people maybe on your email list. So,
Sometimes it feels like you're just shouting into the noise. And if you're at reader conferences, you've got all of these other authors you're competing with to get the readers who are there and their attention. So that's why I think it's really fun to do something outside of that book world to interact with people where you are the author. You know, you're the only, I've done craft fairs, local craft fairs with other artists, and I'm the only artist, you know, the only person who writes books. We've got jewelry and fine art and sculpting and all of these other things, but I'm the author. And so that's sort of a novelty, right? Because I'm tapping into an audience I don't normally get to tap into. So seeking out those opportunities is a great thing to do. One last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up is the marketing audit that you talk about in your book. So how important do you feel like that is? And then how do you go about doing that and determining and giving yourself the permission to let go of the things that aren't working?
You know, that's an interesting aspect. Marketing audits, typically, especially in business, are to see where we're missing something. You know, what's not working, what is working, and what are we missing? And I feel like for any author to be able to look across what you have at, you know, putting everything together, it helps you to then determine, if you look at what are you doing on social media? How often are you posting? What are you doing on all these different platforms that you're on? Or are you even, do you really have your website updated? Is it still saying it's copyright 2019? Or, you know, how about your, I mean, even simple things like your picture, you know, your headshot. So many people, you know, you look at the headshot, and then when you actually meet the person or see them online, there's like, totally different things, because it's 10 years later or more, right? And I
like online dating, right?
Yes. And so one of the things that when you're going across everything that you should be doing and making sure is really up to date, even your website, even the copyright on your website and your pictures and everything. I've gone on to different people's websites, different authors, and seen that they had an event from, you know, 2022. Well, that's a really long time ago. The idea to me is really looking across all of your marketing and going through the checklist to say, okay, what are my goals? Did I meet them? What didn't I do? What did I do that worked? What didn't work? It really is just that opportunity for you to kind of look through everything and make sure that you can fine tune your marketing for next year to, you know, really achieve the results that you want. What are those goals? What are the results you really want? And that just gives you that opportunity to look across everything and make sure everything is up to speed marketing-wise for a really successful next year.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I like to do these things once a month, first of all, tapping into my website, checking to make sure I've got everything updated, that my newest release is on the front page. all of that. So for me, routine is really important because otherwise things slip, and they slip anyway. But, you know, the routine is very, very helpful. So I do that once a month. I know I try to do all the business marketing stuff on Mondays. And then the rest of my time is devoted to writing. I know other people who have a monthly business day, or they do, you know, devote 3 hours every morning to those things. So it's figuring out what works for you in terms of routine to make sure that you are keeping things up to date. And then now is the perfect time to grab this book, An Author's Marketing Playbook by Nicolette Lemon. This is a perfect time to evaluate what you've done, where the gaps are, what's working, what's not. And this is exactly the kind of tool to use to set intentions and to figure out what you need to do or what you want to do and how you're going to do it.
And like you said, make it so that it's what fits you and your schedule and how you like to work. Yeah. That's probably the most important, so you'll do it. Because there's the rub, is that you have to do it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Or people forget about you.
Right.
Simple as that. If you don't keep out there consistently, then people will forget who you are.
Yeah. It's also, I think, really validating and encouraging to look back on your sales, especially as an indie author, because you have such control over that, to look at the different platforms that you publish on, whether you are Wide or Amazon specific. But you can look at your sales as a whole over the course of the year. You can look at what you spent on all of the various things, your newsletter list, your, you know, Canva and BookBrush, and then your ads and whatever, and weigh how am I doing, and how are these two things working together, and am I seeing an uptick in sales when I do these things? So it's a great time to reflect for those folks who are further along in their career and are trying to make more of it or make a better living or, you know, earn more money, that sort of thing. It's easy to not even know what you're making and not even know what you're spending, right?
Yeah, just hope. Just hope that it works, right? That isn't going to do it in this environment, yes, because it's way too competitive, way too congested. And I've always said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So the idea is, why don't you set the path? With, you know, my playbook is just that, to help you set your own path for marketing your books for success so that you feel successful, that you feel you've achieved your writing dream.
I love this book, and it's so great to talk to you and talk through all of these strategies and ideas to help us authors as a whole really hone in on the business side of things, because I think that, you know, we're creatives and we often don't think about it, don't want to think about it, but your book is a really accessible way to do that. You know, the three steps and the tips that you have and the insight that you have from being an industry expert, all of it is so important, and you make it really manageable for people. So I really encourage everybody listening to go grab this book, An Author's Marketing Playbook. So thank you for being here. Before we leave, I would like to ask you if you have kind of a parting tip to give to the folks listening, wherever you might be on your, you know, the spectrum of your career, starting out or, you know, launching a book a month or traditionally published, you know, wherever you are, what do you have to say to folks?
You know, I think the final thing for me is, and I mentioned that I did this book because of the people that I met in my Sisters in Crime chapter, Grand Canyon Writers chapter, that asked me for it, which was great. But the idea was, it's that community that I feel is also really important to consider, that get into, whether it is Sisters in Crime or mystery writers or romance writers or whoever it is that you identify with for your genre, and would get into a chapter, get into a writing group, you know, just making sure that you have community so that you have that support from others as well, because I wouldn't have done this book unless I had all my friends and my writer buddies in the chapter saying, hey, can you do this for us? Can you write it up for us? And that's the community that I just love, because I can give back and help with them. And then they help me with the writing side of things, the mystery writing part of things. So community is my last tip, is making sure that you do get a part of organizations that can help you jumpstart your writing dream.
There's nobody that gets what it's like to be a writer other than another writer. So it's really important to have that community and those people that understand your passion and why you spend so many hours for so little return.
And we hope it's for more return. If they if they get their marketing going, it will be for more return.
Exactly, exactly. That's why we all need to buy your book.
That'd be great, yes. But the idea is really fun. Thank you for having me, because it was, it's fun to talk about it and to think about the value that it can bring to others to help them reach their dream. And I will say that my author brand tagline is to entertain, motivate, and inspire others. So for me, that's part, I'm achieving it. I'm doing what I had set out to do with my author brand. And so it's fun to talk about it today with you too.
Well, it's been very interesting and informative, and I've learned all kinds of things and from our conversation as well as from your book. So I'm ready to implement. I'm ready to go through my audit and revamp my plan, though. It's been really great.
Perfect. Awesome.
Thank you again for being here.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening and spending your time with me today, everyone. I'm Melissa Bourbon, and this is the Writer Spark podcast. Take a moment to visit our website at www.writersparkacademy.com. Check out our courses, our resources, and all the content there. And I will see you next time. Until then, happy writing.